Hello everyone and good evening and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. I hope you all so far are enjoying your weekend, enjoying your Saturday out there. Hopefully it's been a nice relaxing day or just hopefully a productive day even if it wasn't relaxing. But this evening, today on February 1st, the beginning of Black History Month, we just wanted to do an episode to commemorate and honor the 50th anniversary of the Greensboro, North Carolina sit-ins. The sit-in where four black college students started kind of helped to spark the civil rights movement with nonviolent protests by sitting in at the local Woolworth store in North Carolina. And as mentioned, February 1st today makes 50 years of that historic day and that historic sit-in. February 1st, 1960 is when it started. And it, as mentioned, as we said, it lit the spark for the civil rights movement. And also just for a nonviolent protest. And so on this day, we just wanted to do an episode just to honor that. And, you know, sit-ins were nothing new by the time this day in 1960 came around. I mean, starting back in 1939, you know, a black attorney, Samuel Wilbert Tucker, organized a sit-in at a segregated Alexandria, Virginia library. In 1942, the Congress of Racial Equality sponsored a sit-in in Chicago. They did so in St. Louis as well in 1949 and in Baltimore in 1952. 1958, a sit-in in Wichita, Kansas, I'm getting tongue-tied, was successful in ending segregation at every Dockham drugstore in Kansas. So sit-ins were nothing new. You know, these were things that happened. But this sit-in was so popular and historic because it had a lot of news and press, the media, for some reason, just, you know, caught wind of the story and talked about it and brought a lot of eyes to it. You know, a lot more people heard about this sit-in because of the media and the news that surrounded it. So, days before the sit-ins started at Woolworth, the Greensboro Four, as they became known, were four men. They were freshmen at a historically black college, North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, also known as North Carolina A&T University. But the four men, Joseph McNeil, Franklin McCain, Ezell Blair Jr. and David Richmond, were all freshmen, and they would meet up in their dorm rooms and just discuss how they can stand against segregation. And by this time in 1960, Martin Luther King was already, you know, becoming more and more well known in his practice of nonviolent protests, and so they were inspired by him. And what really put a spark for the protest was because during the Christmas vacation of 1959, Joseph McNeil attempted to use the Greensboro Greyhound bus station, but was refused service. So after that event, that's when they really, you know, decided it was time to take action against segregation. So they figured they'd come with a simple plan to just go to the local Woolworth, occupy seats in the whites only section, and even when they were denied service, which they knew what was going to happen, they just wouldn't leave. You know, just as simple as that. They're going to sit down and they're not going to leave, no matter what happened. And as mentioned, it caused widespread attention. And this was to pressure Woolworth to desegregate their stores because they had a policy of not serving black patrons. So on February 1st, 1960, at 4:30, the four men sat down at a lunch counter inside the Woolworth store over on 132 South Elm Street in Greensboro, North Carolina. And they purchased toothpaste and other products at a desegregated counter at the store with no problems. But then when they went to sit down at their lunch counter, because it was whites only, they refused service. So the manager of the store, a man by the name of Clarence Harris, asked them to leave, but they stayed there till the store closed that night. And then when the store closed and they went back to North Carolina A&T, they recruited more students to join them the next day in this protest. February 2nd, more than 20 black students that are recruited from other campus groups at North Carolina A&T joined in the sit-in. And this group included four women that also joined them. And to stay busy during the day, they would do their schoolwork, you know, while they were there. And they sat from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And again, they were refused service. And this time they were even harassed by white customers. But still, they, you know, still refused to leave. And the local news caught attention. You know, it got the attention of the local news, and reporters and TV cameramen and even police officers were present throughout the day, you know, while they were there at the store. And again, they stayed there till the store closed. And when they went back to campus that night, the Student Executive Committee for Justice was organized, and they sent a letter asking the president of the Woolworth stores to take a firm stand to eliminate discrimination. The next day, February 3rd, this time the number grew to more than 60 protesters that went to Woolworth, and it included students from Dudley High School, and as well as students from Bennett College. And Bennett College is one of only two colleges, as well as Spelman, that are historically black women's colleges. And so women from Bennett College, they call them Bennett Bells. We actually did an episode on Everyday Black History covering the Bennett Bells and Bennett College. They joined in on the protest. And even though the North Carolina's chapter of the KKK came and white, you know, customers heckled them as they were reading their books and studying, they still stood firm, and they sat at that whites-only counter and didn't let any of that deter them from their goal of getting this place desegregated. The national headquarters of Woolworth said that the company would abide by local custom and maintain this segregation policy. So, okay, February 4th. Now, more than 300 people took part in this protest. And this included students from North Carolina A&T, Bennett College, Dudley High School, as well as students from the Women's College of the University of North Carolina, now known as the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And three women, Jeannie Seaman, Marilyn Lott, and Ann Dearsley, also joined in on the protesters, joined in with the protesters. And the organizers agreed to expand the sit-in protest to include the lunch counter at another store in Greensboro called Crest that same day. And students, college administrators, and representatives from Woolworth met, and Crest met, to discuss ways in which they can, you know, come to an agreement. But these stores refused to integrate, so there was nothing that was resolved. So, okay. The next day, February 5th, you know, the students continued with their protests. Again, more than 300 were at the store by 3 p.m., but this time there were 50 white men who decided that they were going to sit at the counter in opposition to the protesters. And now there were white college students who sided with the protesters in this protest against segregation. So these 50 white men who stood in opposition to the protesters, they figured that they would, you know, stand there and try and scare them away. And there's even pictures of them, you know, heckling them and pouring stuff on some of the people's heads. But, you know, and they didn't, you know, they didn't respond with violence. I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and say that I wouldn't have responded. And that's why I say that, you know, maybe they're better than me, because somebody's pouring ketchup or mustard on my head, you know, be coming to blows. You ain't getting away with that. But this was a nonviolent protest. And as we know that during that time, if any one of them would have rightfully defended themselves, they would have been looked at in the wrong. So despite all that, you know, they continued doing their schoolwork, and they, you know, sat there peacefully and at the counter, even though they weren't being served. They still didn't allow these 50 white men to deter them, or the KKK, or anybody who was there to try and put fear in them, to deter them from their goal of desegregation. Again, the store representatives tried to meet up with the college administrators, but since nothing was ever being resolved, there was no reason for them to meet. You know, if you weren't gonna integrate the stores, then what's the reason for us to sit down and meet? You know, that was the way of thinking of the administrators from the black colleges. And the store representatives were upset that only their certain stores were, only certain segregated stores were being protested. But these were the biggest stores, Crest and Woolworth. So they, chose those stores to be the basis for this protest. On February 6, 1960, over 1,400 North Carolina A&T students met at the Harrison Auditorium on campus. And they voted to continue the protest, and they went to the Woolworth store, filling up the store with more than 1,000 protesters and counter-protesters packing themselves into the store by noon. The counter-protesters even tried to call in a bomb threat to try and deter people from going into the store and protesting the stores. But that didn't stop them. They just headed over to the other store, Crest, this caused Woolworth and Crest to close their stores because they weren't getting any business because of the protesters. The Greensboro sit-in became so popular that other places in North Carolina started to do the same. Winston-Salem, Durham, Raleigh, and Charlotte, and even out-of-state towns such as Lexington, Kentucky, all saw the protests and began to follow the example of these sit-ins to desegregate stores and locations that, we all should have the freedom, as we do now, to go wherever we want. There shouldn't be any policies of white only or black only or anything like that. So a lot of other states, started to get involved in the movement, especially in the South. Richmond, Virginia, Nashville, Tennessee, as well as in Jackson, Mississippi, Chattanooga, Tennessee, all these different places saw what they were doing and jumped in on a movement and started their own movements. And college students, got together and organized where they would go to places and do these sit-ins. And the sit-in movement was so effective and even though tensions started to grow in Greensboro because of the sit-ins, they began a far-reaching boycott in stores with segregated lunch counters. And sales of the boycotted stores dropped by a third, leading their owners to abandon the segregation policies. Because it's like if they wanted to remain in business, they had to, desegregate, because the protest, the sit-ins started to affect their bottom line. Their sit-ins officially went on from February 1st, 1960 to July 25th, 1960. And on Monday, July 25th, after nearly $200,000 in losses, which is about $1.7 million in today's money, the store manager of Woolworth, Clarence Harris, asked three black employees to change out of their work clothes and order a meal at the counter. They were quietly the first to be served at a Woolworth lunch counter, and most stores were soon desegregated because of the sit-in movement. There were other cities in Tennessee, such as Nashville and Jackson. The Woolworths there continued to be segregated until about 1965, despite multiple protests. So, they still continue their segregationist policies. But the Greensboro Woolworth, where it started, after 6 months, they ended their segregation policies. And it's because of this sit-in, this sparked the movement of desegregation and civil rights. Now, the impact of the Greensboro sit-in, can still be felt today. I mean, thankfully we are born in a time where, segregation, doesn't really exist as far as it being legal, where they had whites-only counters and blacks-only counters, where, the whites-only part of the store would always be nice and the black-only part would be, dirty and disgusting. And, from lack of resource, because nobody cleaned it, nobody cared about it. So the impact of these sit-ins can be felt, you know, everywhere today. So much that we don't even think about it. But that's why, you know, we wanted to highlight it today, because, you know, here it is 50 years later, you know, and, you know, desegregation is something that we don't even, you know, think or talk about. But there was a time when you couldn't even be served at the lunch counter at, you know, a popular store. Imagine going to whatever your favorite store is and being refused service simply because of the color of your skin. So, you know, we just want to commemorate that 50 year anniversary today, and you know, how meaningful it is for us today because of what these four young men started. You know, to think that they were freshmen in college, you know, young men, but their actions, you know, affected millions upon millions of people of us today, that we're able to, you know, we're able to go to our favorite places, and, you know, and whites and blacks and people of all, you know, nationalities and colors can, you know, gather together without violence happening or without being arrested because you're in the wrong area. So we just wanted to commemorate that on this 50 year anniversary, and just be thankful for their example and what it led to for us today. So that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. And as mentioned, I hope you all are enjoying your weekend. I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend, whatever your plans are tomorrow. And we'll be seeing you again on Monday with another episode of Everyday Black History. So stay tuned for that and enjoy your weekend.